Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics.
Boom! Here comes Dylan. The...
Joining me, as always, really is Ben, Zach, and Cam.
Hi.
And this week, we did The Longest Yard. Sorry, Zach, that it's not the Sandman version. We did the OG 1974 Burt Reynolds version.
Just watch both.
Well, three of us did. Zach didn't.
Can't pass up an opportunity to enter the Sandlerverse.
To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail. Zach, what do you call this contraption?
Doug, I never came up with a name for it. I was really hoping you would.
Zach calls it the longest yard.
It's kind of like an Irish iced coffee. You take 8 ounces of Guinness, half a cup of sugar, and reduce that down in a pan until it's a syrup. And it's one part of that syrup, one part espresso, and two parts Irish whiskey over ice. It is absolutely delicious.
Is this something you came up with, the Guinness syrup, or were you just like, we're going to try this right now?
Somebody at work told me about the Guinness syrup. He's like, yeah, I don't drink Guinness anymore, but I make it into a syrup and I put it on ice cream. And I'm like, well, shit. Hang on. Hold up. Wait a minute. Let me put some coffee in it. And then
Zach,
some whiskey
in it. How long have you known about this Guinness syrup?
What time is it? Seven. Oh, okay. I've known about it for like 4 hours.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, why the fuck have you never told me about this? Because that
delicious.
Shit sounds amazing. And
it is delicious.
I don't have Guinness in my house, and I wasn't going to use this really expensive bourbon stout that I have to make a syrup, but I'm going to have to try it now. No, it's Goose Island.
Oh, boo.
It's Goose Island Bourbon County Brand Stout. But it's a bourbon barrel-aged stout, so... It's fucking delicious.
Yeah, I didn't have Guinness either, and I'm a bit congested, so I didn't really want to just like...
I don't think you can use Bud Light.
I made a two-hearted ale syrup. I really rambled this one.
I made a Coors syrup. First, you have to cool the Coors until the mountains turn blue, and then...
And then boil it.
It yeah. did get me thinking what other beers would be really good as syrups, though.
I mean, I feel like depending on what you're doing it for, like a domestic, if you were like using it as like a, I don't know, like have you guys ever had like beer chips?
No.
Like beer they're chips? Really good. They're chips that taste like beer.
Oh.
That doesn't sound good.
Could you like they're dehydrate the beer?
I don't know how they do it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Make
I don't know how
seasoning?
They do it.
Cam powdered it in his mouth.
But, like, I don't know. If you were to make it in, like, a syrup or, like, spritz it on something, like, I could see that being...
Oh, anything's good if you spritz it.
You know.
Even poop. If you spritz poop on stuff.
But I feel like
most...
Unless
you're an acquired taste, though.
You like your most, poop raw.
Most of them, I feel like, would have to be, like, a stout. I feel like you can't make a syrup out of, like, an IPA...
Like just any of the ones that are like...
like a sweet like hops.
Coffee oatmeal stout, you know? Any of those ones would be probably delicious. And like a dessert-y drink or ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm,
I feel like
I'm
you,
definitely...
You might be able to make like an IPA syrup if you could balance that flavor in like a drink somehow. Like the hoppy flavor.
I just don't know what you'd mix it with. Like what do you make with an IPA syrup?
A stomach ache.
Maybe tequila and like hops.
I can see that. I feel like we've done a cocktail that was like tequila.
We did some beer cocktails.
Yeah, it was tequila and beer.
But every time I hear the word hops, I think of McLovin saying it in Superbad. Oh, I love this new beer. Yeah, I heard they recently added more hops.
More hops.
Hops. Okay, so it was for the Warriors. We did like a shandy. And it was like slow gin, lime, grapefruit, IPA beer.
We did another one, too, that was like a tequila and beer.
Did we, or is that a fever dream you lived through?
Probably a fever dream.
No, I want to say we did another beer cocktail outside of that one. I don't know if it was like tequila, but it was something, and then you topped it with beer.
Check the show notes below. Get this recipe that Zach made. We're like alcohol experts now. I think those are called alcoholics, but like, you know, we've made cocktails. Is this your first one, Zach? Are you proud, boy?
This is the first one I'm willing to put in like a damn recipe book.
And get some Guinness and some Irish whiskey delivered directly to your door using the Drizzly and Casker links. They'll be hyperlinked. You'll be able to see it. And we get a little kickback from that, and you get it at your doorstep. Crazy like that, you know. You can watch The Longest Yard on Cinemax as of recording. And we're about to spoil it, so get ready.
Yeah, if you haven't seen a movie that came out in the 1970s, be warned, we're going to spoil it.
The audiences don't just see it. They talk to it. They cheer it. They roar with it. They explode with it. They love it. That's the tagline for this movie.
There's nothing Americans love more than prisoners.
Thought you were going to say football.
Definitely prison movies. I mean, we've watched, I guess, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is adjacent. It's more a mental institution, but like Cool Hand Luke and this.
Star Wars.
Say,
did you say Star Wars?
Dylan, what movies did you list?
Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, speaking of, did you guys notice Unger was also in Cool Hand Luke? Dude just loves being in prisons.
Yeah. Big prison.
He was also in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Wait, what?
Who was he in that?
Gus? I don't know who the fuck Gus was, but...
Nah, Gus could have been anybody.
Oh, shit, yeah, it's Boss Higgins.
Yeah. Let me see if I can see with any of the photos if he's recognized. Nope, there's not even photos of him in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. But I thought that was interesting, because as I was watching, I was like, man, the prison stuff kind of reminds me, like, if Cool Hand Luke was about football. And then I was like, wait a minute, isn't that guy in Cool Hand Luke? Yeah, he is. Just on the other side. He's on the other team.
The Longest Yard is a 1974 comedy crime drama. The crime is loose.
Watch out, the crime is loose.
Oh no, runaway crime.
Is your crime running? Better go catch it.
Stupid directed crime. Directed by Robert Aldrich, written by Tracy Keenan Wynn and Albert S. Ruddy. It stars Burt Reynolds, Eddie Albert, Ed Lauder, Charles Tyner, as Ben was talking about from Cool Hand Luke. Doesn't this one feature actual football players too?
Yes, sir. Actual football players.
Yeah.
Real ones.
Professionals.
From the league.
The Longest Yard is the story of a sadistic warden who asks a former pro quarterback, now serving his time in prison, to put together a team of inmates to take on and get pummeled by the guards. It was nominated for one Oscar, Best Film Editing. Had anyone seen this original before?
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I've seen the Adam Sandler one. Obviously.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
Most people our age probably have.
Most people have seen it. I don't know most, but all of us, we're the demographic for that movie, so makes sense.
I think my dad was pretty adamant that we had to watch this before we could watch the Sandler one.
It was kind of surprising to me, as someone who hadn't seen this one before, how true the Adam Sandler one is to this movie.
Very similar.
The fact that it's damn near an exact,
it's almost
remake?
A shot-for-shot remake. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it?
They left out a couple of the parts that were good to leave out. I think they also added some parts that look worse in hindsight, too. This movie gets the woman abuse out of the way very quickly. Like, it does it in the very, like, beginning of the movie, and then never again.
And not gonna lie,
that's obviously not in the... like Sandler
kind of
movie.
Forgot that even happened in this movie, and then when I was watching it, and I was just like, oh, what the fuck, Burt Reynolds,
yeah,
not
bad.
Cool, dog, not
it's
cool.
Funny because you're kind of on Burt's side for a bit. You're like, oh, okay, like that's like she's
when
kind
she
of being a lot
sexually assault him,
yeah, and then he just, like, you know,
slams her into a
slams
wall and
her, into
throws
the
her to the ground
and shit. Yeah, and you're like, whoa, come on, what, come on, no. Luckily, that's the worst this movie gets as far as, like, awful...
That part of it.
What do you mean?
Oh, I mean, well, there's some racism, obviously, by the bad guys.
Oh, well, but
movie.
It's... Yeah, but that racism is shown in a negative light.
Like,
that's not okay, but it's like...
I also feel like that racism is also shown in the Sandler one.
Yeah, I mean, the yard is separated.
I don't remember. It's been a while.
There's an explicit scene where Stone Cold and Goldberg corner Nelly, and just there's got to be 10 N-bombs in that scene.
Well, I think it's the same. It's the same as in this one where they like confront
where they're pushing
the guy
over
and
this
it
stuff.
Convinces all the it convinces yeah. all the players to play.
Yeah,
all the black players yeah. to play because they hate the guards. Then,
yeah, I thought this one had a very less problematic depiction of these people in drag than like in the Sandler one. I feel like I remember in the Sandler one a lot of jokes at the expense of Tracy Morgan, right? I think it was.
Yeah, like they're there and it, you know, they're there kind of throughout the game, but they don't focus on it as much as like Tracy Morgan's, you know, wearing a bunch of lipstick and constantly acting like he's trying to hook up with everyone in the prison.
It doesn't lean into a joke really being there. That's more like they're literally just like the cheerleading squad, which also supposedly they're like famous. Like they kind of like the announcer has like a whole thing for them. It's like
that's some yeah.
They're like the prison. They're like the touring prison version of the Supremes.
Yeah, and the Sandler one. I mean, they're legit characters. They're like they have 10, 15 minutes of screen time in the Sandler one, and in this one, when do you see them? Like, at the football game?
At the game, that's
yeah.
it.
Just cheering and singing.
Yeah. And don't, in the Sandler one, they actively make fun of the one guy because he hooked up with them?
Yeah.
Yes. That I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah.
But the one guy's being, like, homophobic towards them, and then they just call him out. Like, hey, you slept with Tracy Morgan, so, like, why don't you shut up?
Isn't it, what's his face? The fucking one guy that we all hate. Isn't it that guy?
Who do we all hate?
It's not Rob Schneider.
No, it's
no,
not Rob
Schneider. Rob Schneider's only in that movie for one line, and that is...
To do the Waterboy reference?
Yeah. Nope. You can do it! Get your old ass into the end zone! And that's all he says in the movie. No, that
oh,
was that,
it,
like...
Was it
Brucey? Yeah.
Brucey, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It was one of the Sandlerverse guys. The, you know, the guys that, like, they never play a key part, but they're always there.
This one doesn't have many... I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about who's in the Sandlerverse,
he's
Richard
not gonna
Kiel. Richard Kiel's in this one.
Richard Kiel is, yeah.
Who plays, what's his face
Burt
from?
Reynolds?
Well, he's well, Jaws. And then he's also...
Jaws.
He's
the guy
also Happy Gilmore's boss,
yeah.
the construction guy who has the nail in his head.
Your ball yeah. struck my foot.
Which you've got to think, Sandler probably pushed for him to be in his movie due to the fact that he was in this movie, right?
For sure.
Like, Adam Sandler just loves The Longest Yard and was like, how can I get this guy in my movie?
I wonder how much, like, pull Sandler had on that movie, because he didn't write it or direct it, so, like, I wonder... I mean, obviously he had all his buddies, but
yeah, I wonder if he had this reputation of like filming a good time at that point. Like, if people knew in 2005 that, hey, Sandler's doing a movie, great, we're just gonna go to like the Bahamas for 6 months.
Well, when did Waterboy come out?
90s.
Say late 90s.
97. Okay, because like, I mean, Covert? Who played his caddy in Happy Gilmore. I want to say, was he in The Waterboy too? I know Dante was in The Waterboy. I feel like a lot of the people that even go back as far as The Waterboy that you don't realize are in Waterboy go through a lot of the movies with him.
The B-Squad of the Sandlerverse?
Yeah, the guys that are not going to headline a Netflix movie, but they're in that fucking Netflix
it's
movie.
It's not the Avengers of the Sandlerverse.
Yeah.
It's like the
it's
new
more,
Avengers.
It's more like the Defenders.
Yeah. It was interesting seeing all the, like, obviously the remake is pretty close to a shot for shot, but like things I had forgotten that happened. And I was like, I'm pretty sure at a certain point they, like something bad happens to Caretaker or like his character. And then like fucking happened in the movie and they lit the dude on fire. And
they show a lot of it too.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you watch him, like, kind of, you watch him burn for a while, and it is rough to watch.
I think Burt Reynolds is pretty good in that scene, though. He does look like he just lost, like, a best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it like more humorous in the remake, or no? Am I imagining it differently?
No. Chris Rock walks into the jail cell. Then they, if you've seen the original, you realize that in the remake, they fake you out with the light switch. Because it's not the light switch that kills Caretaker in the new one. It's the radio turning on. But it's really dramatic. Mm-hmm. The film slows down. The music gets really slow. And they just pan away. You don't see him on fire.
You don't see him caught on fire and locked into a jail cell.
For like 30 seconds.
Oh my god. I didn't put that together. I was trying to remember who played Unger in the Sandler one.
David Patrick Kelly.
Warriors! I'm surprised Zach.
So much of that cast.
Zach's about to 100% update his rating on Warriors and be like, he's a member of the Sandlerverse. It's a fucking great movie.
I think it's a 2-point bump.
Oh my god. This movie's supposed to be like a comedy movie, right? Like it's billed as a comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't very laugh out loud funny to me a lot of the time.
No.
But yeah, I don't like some moments got a chortles. Chuckle out of me, but yeah.
Big chortle energy.
Like when he just like was done driving the car and just decided to just slowly put it off the dock into the water.
I love what he says to the freaking like state trooper or whatever.
Yeah.
Why'd you dump it in the bay? I couldn't find a car wash. Just like,
and he's just casually making fun of the shorter trooper, and the other trooper guy is just like laughing with him. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, you've got to like imagine though, you pull up and you find,
I mean, it's basically like like Tom Brady.
I was going to say, yeah, someone who's actually retired, not just Kim Kardashian marriage retired.
Are you shitting on Kanye West?
No, I'm shitting on her marriage to the
Chris Humphries?
Basketball player. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You show up and like Peyton Manning's just belligerently drunk and you're just like, come on, bud. And he's making fun of you. I expect whoever's with me to laugh.
I love the bit when they go to get the, I can't think of the character's name, but the guy who is like killed so many inmates once they're like,
oh,
once he's in prison.
Schechner? Schachner?
Yeah, something like the guy who's like the martial artist as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when they like go to get him. They're like, do you want to play football? No. Yeah, but you can play against the guards. Nah, I'm in.
That guy. He's in.
That's the prime motivation for like every inmate to play football. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can hit the guards? Yeah.
I love when they look, when they're talking about him, they're like, yeah, he's killed like 8 people. He killed like 3 people before he got, or 5 people before he got to prison. 3 people since he's gotten here. Yeah, man, that karate is crazy. No, that was before he learned karate. It's just like, oh, all right.
Or when he breaks the
Samson.
One guy's nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, like, he sets it back. He's like, now tell him you're sorry. I'm not. And tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. He's like, guys, okay. he said he was sorry.
He said he was
he
sorry.
He said he was
it's
sorry.
All good.
Guys, he said he was sorry. We're good. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I prefer moments in this movie to the Sandler, like, I know that was a big change. They play that differently in the Sandlerverse. I think I made him shit his pants?
I think I made him shit himself.
I think I broke his fucking neck better.
I think I broke his fucking neck.
I think he broke his fucking neck.
I think he broke his fucking neck. I broke his fucking neck. That one's really good. And I love, in the Sandlerverse, he throws at the guy's helmet.
Oh yeah!
When the linebacker comes in, I love the dude just getting pelted in the balls three straight times.
That does just seem like a very much cold. Like a Sandler thing to do. I'm surprised they changed it.
I was so shocked when I'm rewatching. I'm like, don't they do that in the Sandlerverse? But they throw it at his head. You'd think Adam Sandler would be like, nah, man, throw
no, they,
it right in his balls.
No, they don't throw it at his head. They throw it at the referee's nuts. They hit a referee in the nuts like 3 times in the Sandlerverse.
Oh, yeah, because the ref is like calling the game bad.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. I remember them throwing it. I could have sworn they threw it at some guy's like head and someone like caught it off his helmet or something.
Don't you guys dare try to pass false Sandlerverse facts. I'm on the pod this week. I'm watching for it.
Also, like, what is the referee doing in this game? Because, good lord, there was so much like extra.
Yeah, hit him with the brass knuckles and brass no knuckles flags were called. Me up.
He just walks away. He's like, "Yo, bro, give me your brass knuckles." There's just a dead man on the field. Nobody's paying attention.
That's so he couldn't get caught with them.
Just the casualness.
You know, I'm kind of glad I didn't watch the original before I saw the remake because, you know, in 2008 or whenever I watched this movie the first time, I probably wasn't ready for all the violence against women.
You know, honestly, as kids, it probably would have been glossed over a little bit, which is sad, but I mean, that's... I feel like that happens a lot with different movies. Like, stuff just gets glossed over that you don't really understand what's happening, and you're like, okay. And then later you watch it, and you're like, what the fuck?
They try to establish that, like, Burt Reynolds is a bad guy, but then they make him someone you want to root for anyways.
The good guy? Yeah.
Like, because realistically, like...
You are not a bad guy.
He also completely stole a car, drove drunk, like... throughout the entire fucking city, and then dumped said car in the river. Hitting his girlfriend was just part of the reason he was in prison.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a good person. Also, he was kicked out of the NFL for shaving points off of games. So, like...
Allegedly.
No, he literally admitted to doing it.
He did admit to doing it.
And everyone knew it, too.
Everyone asked him, why'd you shave the points off those games? Not once did he go, whoa, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, even in the in that game, when he starts shaving the points, they're literally like, everyone can tell you're playing poorly on purpose. Like,
right.
Yeah. Well, then once they had the 21-point lead and everyone looked at him, they're like, is this what you wanted? Like, yeah, everyone fucking knows what you're doing, man.
All right. Real talk, though. I don't think it's worth spending the rest of your life in prison to win that football game. Just going to throw it out there.
Yeah. I think the thing is that he... would have had to spend the next however many years in there. One, is the most hated dude in all of prison.
I mean, that's true.
That's two, his redemption arc, though.
Two, like, yeah, I don't know. If you're in that position and you're surrounded by 50 guys who are like, you've told us for the past 4 weeks or however long we've had that we could do this and we could win, and now you're just, like, walking away... I don't know. I feel like that would be tough to do.
Oh, it's definitely tough to do, but the warden's literally like, I'll pin this guy's murder on you, and you'll be here forever. Your entire life is done in here. I don't know. That feels like a rough trade-off to me.
I wonder if him getting his ass whooped and then, like, Burt Reynolds' character kind of getting the gotcha on him would change that or not. Because, you know, at the end where he's like, I'm going to shoot him. And then he goes and grabs a game ball and then comes back. And he's like, here you go. Put that in your trophy case. Like, I wonder if that, like, I don't know if it changes him at all. Or if he's actually just going to be like, all right, go to prison forever.
Yeah. The warden's kind of a shitty guy. I don't have faith that he would, quote, do the right thing.
My question is, so do you guys think Paul Crewe was like, a Pro Bowl caliber player, or do you think he was just like a middling quarterback who was shaving points?
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. Like middling quarterbacks are still, if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, you're one of the 32 best players at your position in the world. So like, I'm not saying he wasn't talented. But do you think he was, like, the guy who, like, started for, like, a year or two and then was like, hey, I'm sorry, maybe he started for, like, 3 or 4 years and then his coach was like, hey, we're going to trade for Deshaun Watson and we don't really want you here anymore?
And then he was like, I don't know what's going to happen. It was great while it lasted.
And then they didn't get Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And he's asking for a trade.
And then they said no.
Yeah. Or is he the guy that's like, hey... there was a bunch of point shaving, like, against this guy, and yeah, he should probably be in prison for stuff, but maybe we should trade for him anyways. Which side of that spectrum do you think Paul Crewe was?
I mean, he seemed to be fairly topical
to the NFL.
Yeah, he seemed to be fairly well known. So my guess is he was probably very good. Or maybe very famous for shaving points. I don't know, but... he was probably pretty good because he seemed to be very well known.
Is this the movie where you guys first heard the term shaving points?
The remake, yeah.
Yeah, it was for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when I was like 10 or something, so.
No, just because 12. I hadn't I never watched it till later, but I remember my dad watching the movie about the Black Sox, the 19 Chicago White Sox that threw the World Series. I remember learning about that. So I remember that being like the first time learning about like shaving points.
Wait, is this a true story?
Oh, you didn't know about this?
The Black Sox throwing in the World Series?
Yeah, in the early 1900s, the Chicago White Sox were literally offered basically more than like a season's worth of money to throw the World Series.
Against?
I don't remember who they played against, but they threw the World Series, and then they got caught. I love when Burt Reynolds gets half of his mustache shaved off.
Oh, my God.
And they just kind of hang there for a while. Yeah. So, real talk, do you guys think a bald guy could pull off that mustache?
The half mustache, yeah.
No. The full, but, like, the weird, like, half trucker mustache.
Is this for a friend?
I'm asking for a friend.
Okay.
I'm asking for...
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely sure. Not one of us with a beard. I'm not asking for that guy.
I think you can't go goatee until your kid is born. I feel like that's when you have to get yourself a pair of black Oakleys and shave all of this on the sides off and just leave the nice, like...
So, here's the problem.
Racism goatee.
I tried a goatee once before I shaved my head, but now that I've shaved my head... I would look like Cold Stone Steve Austin.
Oh my God.
I mean, that would be sick. I don't
know. Ben's elite nickname, Cold Stone Steve Austin. I love that.
I just want to throw it out there. You're welcome. You're all, the internet is welcome for that.
There is a fine line, I think, between like dad and like
Daddy?
Racist trucker, oh. I think, with the goatee and bald.
There's definitely
weird 70s porno look.
There's definitely a thick line between dad and daddy.
It drags. So some scenes go on for too long.
There's times where stuff could probably get cut
out. They were in that swamp shoveling dirt into other dirt piles for way too long.
Not into other dirt piles, but into each other's boots.
Yeah, that's...
And the campy music that played, I was like, all right. This is going on for a little too long. Somebody hit somebody with a shovel already.
It was very, I don't know, it was like, what, 2 hours long?
About 2:01, yeah, pretty much.
I never asked, so I guess that's good.
That's good. For me, it felt like a little, like, the whole last hour of the movie is the football game.
Yeah, a third of the movie is the football game, for sure.
Which,
we got to the football game and I paused it. You know, honestly, though, I think it's... Yeah,
I prefer it that way, though. Would you Would you honestly want to watch the movie where it's like they build up to this football game and it's 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't want the game to be 10 minutes, but I do feel like
the game
taking an hour, it felt
the game,
like a long time because there was
the entire game scene actually improved the movie for me a lot. I actually enjoyed the movie a lot more after the football scene was done than
before.
Well,
and also, I mean, kind of the whole thing of like, the halftime with Paul, them going to crew and being like, hey, if you give us a 21-point lead, we'll go easy on you the rest of the way out, and no one else has to worry about being hurt. Okay. And then, you know, you get that iconic moment when it's like, oh, we're down 22 points, and this guy just got cheap-shotted. Now it's time. Now it's time to get the fuck stick, as Zach would say.
How was the sports in this movie? Miracle at Good Sports. How was sports in the longest yard?
Like a 60%.
I think sports was pretty good for a football movie. I feel like football's such a hard movie to get good shots in.
Well, it's such a quick and long game because, like, you know, plays only take a certain amount of time.
Yeah, they only take a couple seconds, and right. Then you've got huddles and everything else. I just also think that, like, you can't have a camera in the backfield because it's super noticeable from a camera anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, to do any sort of shot, you have to constantly, like, you'd have to do the same play, like, 9 or 10 times to get 9 or 10 good shots from different angles. Because most of the time, the angle you're going to get, especially
well,
back
that's
in
why you shoot.
The
that's
70s.
Why you shoot, like, 3 or 4 cameras, but all facing one direction. And then you flip it and do the other one. But, like, I don't know. There's very interesting, like, commercials and all of that that do football and sports well. But I think at least for this movie.
Also, it being 1978 when this movie came out. Like, I mean, they can do just so much more in terms of... Hell, every fucking football stadium has a camera that can go in all... every direction you want it to go. Up, down, across, side to side, like, front to back, any direction you want to angle that camera, there's a cable system that will work that camera all over the field to give an aerial view.
I think this movie, and maybe it was one of the first football movies, but it definitely kind of has that, like, standard football sports action feel to it, where it's kind of quick, very violent, like shots where it's like, you know, contact, hitting, that sort of thing, quick cutting between that, and then like the classic like dramatic slow motion final play.
I also think it's hard to judge this movie based on football play, because a lot of it is like, oh, here's this 2-yard run, and then we're gonna show some dude just straight up using brass knuckles to punch a dude. Like, we're less concerned about how the football looks and more concerned about the fact that you're gonna see that these guys are just taking shots at one another the entire game.
It's an interesting movie as far as like the, I guess not necessarily like moral standpoint, but like you're siding with the prisoners versus the guards, because the guards are like the shitheads.
But weirdly enough, they then make Captain Knauer seem like a good guy in the end.
Like he accepts defeat. He's like, yeah, we lost. All right, let's move on.
Well, not just that, but like, you know, shoot him. Shoot him. He's trying to get away. Shoot him. Then he picks up the game ball and, like, he refuses to shoot him. And he's like, it's the game ball. And walks away like he's somehow now a good person, even though, you know.
He never had a redemption arc.
After being yeah. up by 21 points, he was still telling his guys to play dirty. Like, all right.
But I don't think he wanted to, though. At least in that one scene, it's kind of like the warden's like, you're going to fucking kill him. Instill power into them.
Yeah, he's kind of mad that he's like, hey, wait, you told them to lay off? What the heck? We were going to win. And he's like, no, I didn't trust you. I took care of it. Now you need to kill them.
Also, Caretaker's such a good guy in this movie. Just like, he's yeah.
the guy in the other one.
What do you need? What do you need? I'll get it for you. He's basically like Red, right? From Shawshank.
Sure, yeah.
Where it's like, whatever you need, I can get it.
He's the plug.
Can you
like
get
how
me
they
laid?
Stole their uniforms.
Yeah, I can get yeah. you laid. I also, just the fact that, like, early on in the movie, Burt Reynolds makes a pass at the warden's secretary. Like, clearly yeah. trying to flirt with her. Like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, you ever do it standing up? And then when it comes to find out that he has to sleep with her to get the game tape, all of the prisoners are like, oh shit, you have to do this thing.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some service. Like, is this going to be bad?
And it's like, the woman he was already trying to sleep with, he now gets to sleep with? And that's his punishment? All right. I see well, you, 1970s. Like I see often. You. Yeah.
What did she say? She's like, I'm just as far from Louisiana.
Tallahassee. As far from Tallahassee as you are.
Zach watches these movies. He accumulates questions and then asks us said questions in a trivial aspect. Zach, what do you have for us on The Longest Yard?
Question number one. Which of the following liquors was not on Paul Crew's girlfriend's bar cart? A. George Dickel, B. Jameson, or C. Jack Daniels?
I'm going to go Jameson.
I'm also going to say Jameson.
I'm thinking Jameson too. It's St. Patrick's Day and you're like, I know, I'll make a Jameson reference.
That would be hilarious if I did that. However, there is a bottle of Jameson on the cart. It's Jack Daniels is missing.
Wow. Mm. I'm surprised.
I thought it was going to be because, like, Caretaker kind of makes, like, a subtle, like, whiskey sort of reference, like, naming it after himself. Because doesn't he say, like, oh, we can name it Caretaker Whiskey or something? Like,
yeah.
What? Oh, it's toilet wine?
The yeah. toilet wine, yeah.
But I think it's more like a toilet gin. I don't think it's a wine. Well, actually, it might be more like a whiskey.
All right, point for Zach on that one. Question number two. Where should all weapons be checked into at the prison? A, reception. B, the front tower. Or C, the armory.
C feels like the meme.
Front tower. I'm going to say front tower.
I'm going to say reception.
I'm going to say the armory. I think it's the armory.
The armory makes sense, right? But for some reason, they check them in at the front tower.
Well, hey, look at that.
Dang.
All right, boys. Cam is in the lead with one. We're down to the last question. Which of the following philosophies was on Captain Knauer's "When the going gets tough, the tough get going" sign? A, will to succeed. B, team spirit. Or C, commitment.
Commitment. Final answer. Lock it in.
I have locked that in for you.
Thank you.
Wait.
Thank
you. And it is locked.
Thank you.
No idea what the hell we're talking about.
The will to succeed. Lock it in.
It is locked in.
Team spirit.
In Captain Knauer's office, you see it. There's a slow pan of it when Paul Crewe first goes into Knauer's office, and it's this wooden sign that across the top says, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." And then vertically, there's four like columns, and one of them is team spirit. Another one is a microcosm of life.
Weird.
There's some weird shit on there. So that one goes to Dylan, which means we have a tie. We have a tie.
Boo.
I'll be honest. I didn't pay attention for things to think of like, oh shit, this might be in trivia this week. It completely skipped my mind. Too busy. I was too busy smoking meats today.
Excuse me? It's like the rules smoking from like Requiem for a Dream where it was like, no carbs, no sugar.
No, don't orgasms. Jerk it.
What?
All right. Some of these movies, like, if I've seen them before, I just know what the tiebreaker is going to be. This was one of them. The tiebreaking question closest without going over is, in the final scene when the warden is trying to get Knauer to shoot Paul Crewe, how many times does Captain Knauer yell "Crewe"?
Three.
Five.
The answer is six. Six hey. Whole crews.
Damn.
Sucks. Dylan with a dramatic screech. Finish.
Dylan sucks. Don't give the points to that guy.
Oh, that's a good point. Let's see. Who else should I give the points to?
Me. It's the only points I got.
I'm last, so you should give them to me instead.
Oh, that's true.
Ben gets swept.
I did. You know what that means? I'm going to come back stronger next week.
Two of us have seen this film. Two of us haven't.
Hell yeah.
So you're going to get some nostalgia ratings and some updated ones, but first you get two fresh ones.
Two fresh ratings.
Goob Squad.
Goob Squad.
I thought this movie was okay. It was entertaining. I haven't seen the remake in a long, like, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yard?
Since 2005 when it came out.
Right, probably. It's hard for me to compare it to that because I vaguely remember it. There were definitely some parts of this movie, like the first 10 minutes, that were not great. But everything else, I think, was relatively, you know, fine, at least within the context of the movie. It wasn't laugh out loud funny, but it was funny in some of its absurdity or like, you know, some of the small bits they did. So I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10. I think it's worth a watch if you like football movies or like, I don't know, like older comedy movies. I think it's worth a watch.
I feel like this wasn't a hard one to rate because like there was moments where I chuckled and like I did enjoy the game a bit, but I don't know. I was never like blown away or really like, wow, this movie's great. I think Burt Reynolds is fine. I think he does a good job. I mean, I haven't seen that many Burt Reynolds movies, so I think he does a good job as like a comedic actor. I think he has some decent timing. Some of the jokes hit, some of them don't. I think it's a fine movie. Don't know if I really recommend it. If you were looking for a movie that's similar to this, I might recommend you watch the remake. even though now it's probably still a little outdated with some of the humor, I think it does this just as good, but like an updated version. I know some people are a little deterrent to older movies. I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 10. I think it's a fine movie. I wasn't blown away, and I wasn't pulled one way or the other. It's, you know, I enjoyed my time with it, I guess I could say.
I honestly saw the Adam Sandler one first, and then found out like years later that it was a remake. So I was like, all right, let me go back and watch The Longest Yard. And the movie's got like crude 70s humor. There's some things you would expect to hear in the 60s and 70s, especially in a prison. The movie is funny at times, but I can't believe that it was even in Oscar consideration for editing. I think that like the slow-mo football scene at the end is very poorly done. It lasts way too long. The swamp scene where Burt Reynolds and the other guy are putting mud in each other's boots, it goes on for too long. There's a lot of scenes like that could have been cut shorter. This movie would be like a 7 out of 10 if it were an hour 45, but it's 2 hours long, and it's kind of like 15 minutes of solid fluff. 5 out of 10. Sandler 1 gets a 7, though. True 2-point bump for Sandman.
All right. Yeah, going into this movie, I think based off nostalgia, I definitely saw this one before the Sandlerverse version. I love how I just started referring to any Sandler movie as the Sandlerverse.
It's a thing.
I had it as like a 6 out of 10. It's, if you've seen the Sandler movie, you've seen this movie with slight changes. After a rewatch, I would probably just leave it where it is. It's like a 6 out of 10. It's good. There's some spots that make you, I think some of the things they do in this movie, I enjoy more than the things they do in the Sandler movie. It's not the best movie. It's not the best football movie. It's very much a 70s comedy. But I would say, to me, it's better than the Sandler version. It is. To me, it is. Both of them have things that are problematic in them. It's honestly kind of interesting to look at a movie from 1978 versus a movie from 2005 and be like, which one of these is more problematic scenes to it? And honestly, it's kind of a tie. But overall, I think they're damn near the same movie. I think if you're going to watch one, watch both. Compare them for yourself. See which one you like.
If you're going to watch one, watch both.
Do the fucking research.
Do your own research. You heard it here first from Ben. We hope you enjoy this episode. Don't forget to rate and subscribe. Check out the show notes below to get the cocktail recipe. And hit up the Drizzly and Casker links. Get the alcohol delivered directly to your door. And we get a little kickback from it. Check us out next week as we do White Men Can't Jump to round out our March Madness. Share us with your friends and family. Don't forget to leave a comment, rate, subscribe, and as always, watch responsibly.